without further ado, let me just go through some of the questions. I just love this here because what's happening is you're all challenging my creativity. I love this spontaneity. So I can read a question and then think about something right away. One question came from Mason, and it said, is this similar to Libby Gill's Getting Unstuck program? My answer is no, in the sense that you're talking to a person, me, who has built 35 businesses and generated about 6 million customers. I mean, been there, seen it, done it, you know, and I consider this totally different. I'm just going to go, by the way, John Hallbrook, I'm glad you're back. Your message was we sat next to each other. Anyway, here's the first question I want to go over, and Bart, Julie, Michelle, and Vito asked it. Your question was about building, training, and managing a team. You want to know how to build an amazing team and how to keep them motivated and how to keep them working for your company. Let me tell you this. Building an amazing team starts really initially with the hiring process. You have to bring the right people on board. First, you've got to define what an amazing team member would be for your company. For instance, would that person be fearless? Would he be full of energy? Would he bond with customers, etc.? You've got to make a full list. Then you've got to design open-ended interview questions that would have the interviewee reveal how he would respond under work conditions. You know, don't only listen to the words during the interview, because most of them, they try to BS you. Get a feel for the person. And here's the most important point about it all. You know, your job really is to eliminate every candidate. Those who survive your elimination process, trust me, they'll be your A players. Make the application process as vigorous and rigorous as you can. The next part of the process is training. Have the trainee shadow you or one of your other team members. Make sure they understand how everything they do fits into the big picture of the company and how it affects them professionally and monetarily. Then test them thoroughly before releasing them to work on their own. The reason I say this is so critical and important is because I've seen too many businesses totally eliminate the training, just hire somebody and throw them into the position. And if they're the first response that a customer has, they're going to totally turn them off. But the third part to this is to keep your staff motivated. One of the best ways to motivate a staff is to genuinely appreciate them by letting them know that you know that they make a difference to the business. You know, I've been around too long to know, I've been involved in helping so many businesses and what have you. Very few individuals have come back and thanked me for the great job. So do this for your employees. And then back that up with a transparent profit sharing plan, and you have a winning formula. This is exactly what I did. When I say profit sharing, I'm talking about frequent profit sharing.
In the box. Maybe she's selling us.
Not retirement profit sharing. Reg, is everybody muted or?
Let's see. Let me make sure everybody's muted.
Because of the background.
Yes, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. As Reg is trying to mute everything and whatever, I want to say that there's, share profits at least every quarter. Knowing that they make a difference and backing that up with a share of the gains, it'll motivate almost any employee. There's just one caveat, and it is what I spoke of before, hire right. I've always maintained the philosophy, hire slow, fire quick. Don't expect to hire an unmotivated person and then try to motivate them. It'll never happen. Start with a person who has passion in them that you can ignite. Then you can discover that during the interview process, you will discover it, and it's going to come to be worth your while. So I hope I answered that question there. Here's another one on improving efficiency. It was from Alice. How do I prove to a restaurant manager that using a shift schedule, restaurant scheduler will save time? You know, Alice, it all comes down to proving to the manager that he'll make or save money with the scheduler. Or it could be that it will make his life easier. You know, if your manager is not the owner, and she or he has to report back to the owners as to why she or he bought a scheduler, you'll have to give him a reason that he can use when reporting to the owners. Basically, you have to be able to show in very concrete terms that the purchase that he should make is not just a good idea, but a profitable one for the manager to make. And I would just add on to this one little thing of appealing to their vanity. It'll make you look like you really know what you're doing to the owner. Anyway, new business. Chase, I'd like to know the best approach to enter into the social media with a business. Chase, starting any successful business require that you start with the customer first. You first need to know what group of people you want to serve. This group should be a group of people you could fall in love with. Trust me when I say that. You must then study that group to find out what's important to them around the topic of social media. You must find out what conversations are going on in their minds and find out how to join that conversation. Chase, if you focus on an idea that does not join your potential customer where they are, you will be spending an awful lot of resources on trying to convince them to buy your product. Don't just grab an idea. Grab an idea that's part of the story that's going on in your prospects' minds. Spend the time up front that is necessary to get a full and a deep gut understanding of who your target customers are and of your target customers. That's the start of a successful business, Chase, and I hope that helped you. Boy, this one's a big one. Liam, how to succeed in business. The question is, I'm 21 years old and a month away from graduating college. I am a serious student of selling, entrepreneurship, and direct response marketing. I study the masters, Collier, Hopkins, Capel, Schwartz. Hey, Halbert is in here. Boy, that's great. And read a lot of Dan Kennedy's material. Dan Kennedy, by the way, for all your listeners, refers to me as the richest insurance agent in the world. My goal is to be as successful in business as you are. What would you recommend I do to follow in your footsteps as I prepare to start my career? Boy, that sounds great, Liam. Let me tell you, you know. But, you know, I want to tell you, you're already doing a lot of it. You're studying the greats, Collier, Halbert. You know, Gary, as gross as he was a super dynamic individual and had a heart of gold. You know, if you particularly want to follow in my footsteps, then start by studying my materials, of course. But, you know, later you could even join one of my coaching programs that I'm going to create. But the key thing is to study from the greats, because we could always learn from everybody else. Here's a question from Inam. I'm trying to start my own business. It seems like there is no time or energy to do this, because as a management consultant, I am so busy throughout the day and most of the time overworked by the time I get back. I am just beat to even think of work. I would like to know how I should proceed to find more time in my day to concentrate on my business. Inam, first I want to tell you this. I've always maintained a philosophy, and I've always said to everybody that I've talked to that worked for someone else, as long as you ever continue creating wealth for someone else, you're not going to create it for yourself. So I admire your austerity and the idea that you want to go on your own. But let me give you this advice. You know, you'll have to set up your life so that you have more time. You may have to delegate more of what you do to others. You may have to be a say-no type of a person to more things. You've got to be, you know, in my own mind, more selective than I'm. Based on what you describe, it would be very difficult for you to give a new business the attention it needs. New businesses take time and dedication to grow. You may want to hold off on starting your business until you can give ongoing dedicated time to it. But there's no reason why you can't start this and start it on a part-time basis. By doing this enough, you'll at least take the first steps to make it happen. Under the same topic, Nancy's asking, how much should a new business spend per month on a pay-per-click advertising route? There's a lot more experts in this than I am, but I'm going to answer your question based on the experience I have. The question has to be answered within a context of your marketing budget, the lifetime value of your customer, et cetera. A number like that doesn't exist by itself. You really have to look at the whole picture of your business without knowing what your return on investment is. You will never, ever know how much you could spend to create a customer. For example, I've had individuals say to me, you know, two times the revenue would be the norm to use. My thinking is completely different. All right, you might sell something for $20 a clip and might need thousands to break even. Whereas if you sell something that sells for $3,000, all you need is to sell a half of one in order to break even. So if you just sell one, you've made money. So I hope everybody gets that concept. So in other words, you have to look at the total picture of the business, Nancy. Sama. When the person working as an employee with any organization, he delivers a great result that can lead to unbelievable success and enormous growth. But why, when it takes initiative to start his own business, he failed to do so? To answer your question, Osama, an employee's tasks are typically limited to certain responsibilities. As a business owner, you are responsible for everything. A much bigger commitment is needed. Plus, running a business requires different skills. A mistake people often make is thinking that because they know their craft well, that they can start a business. But the two things are really different. For instance, a chef may be a great chef, but that doesn't mean he can run a restaurant where he has to source product or get financing or managing the books or managing cash flow. Figure out what clients want. Figure out how to deliver it economically and hire the right people, and so on and so on and so on. All right? So, it requires different skills is all I'm trying to say to you, Osama. So anyway, here's one from Jim and Charles. How can I obtain funding? You know, every business activity, guys, requires an exchange of value. Funding is no different. If you're going to raise funds, you have to figure out how to give those that are seeking funding from what they want. If you can give potential funders what they want, you will have a ready source of funds. One of the things, by the way, fund sources want is security of their investment. Believe it or not, they don't want you running away. They also want certain returns on those funds within a particular time period. Most fund sources will only fund certain types of projects, ones that they are familiar with and feel comfortable investing in. It's your job to identify the fund sources you want to go after and then find out their particular criteria for lending of investing or investing in a company. Then you have to deliver. That's very, very critical. But, if anybody feels that I'm running too quickly, just let me know. I'll slow it down a little bit. There's just so much that we have to try to go over this hour. And I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm going to try to get over all these. And if it goes beyond an hour, I do eventually want to open it up for some of the questions that you might have, personal questions. And I love the personal stuff also. So I'm going to open it up for questions. Anybody, everybody's willing to stay on even after the hour's up and listen in and ask personal questions. Here's a general business on how-tos and what to do stuff. This one's from Joan, Rudy, Keith, and Joe. How do I set priorities? How do I make my day productive? All I got to say to you is always remember why you are doing what you are doing. You got to remember the big picture. Give the things that move you closer to that vision a higher priority than anything else. I call those your high payoff items. Delegate as much of the rest as you can. In fact, hire a virtual assistant if necessary. And all this is important, by the way. Eat the elephant one bit at a time. That's an old saying. Break your major goal down into bite-sized sub-goals by working your way backwards from your vision to where you are now. make a list of all that is required to happen from where you are to where you want to be. By working backwards, then work with it, each piece that you're going to do. Focus all your activities on that. Don't take activities that are for future sub-goals. That dissipates your energy and resources. If you stick to the discipline of knocking off those sub-goals one at a time instead of all at once, you'll get further along more quickly and with less stress. And trust me, never, ever get angry at yourself. Never let yourself down, because we have the capability, really, of destroying ourselves. Here's a question from Johan. My wife and I have been running a catering business for 15 years but have not grown it. We also own a restaurant that is not growing and it needs redecorating. I am conflicted as to whether to spend money on a restaurant or just retire. But if I retire, I'll retire poor and disillusioned. I'm concerned about physical aging and working in a restaurant. Should I look for a completely new challenge? Johan, I wouldn't recommend you look for a new challenge. I would recommend that you figure out how to turn what you have into gold. And I'm going to help you do that, all right? My marketing tips of the week and different ideas and everything, I will make it happen for you. You will face the similar challenges that you have had in any new business. So you might as well figure out how to overcome them in the ones you have got. Do you remember the Acres of Diamonds story where a guy owned the land near a stream? I'll tell it to you. One day he decided he was going to go to the Middle East to look for gold. He sold his property and spent 20 years looking for gold. He never found any. He finally came back to his homeland. One day he decided to visit the person he had sold the land to, only to discover that the person had found gold in the stream on the land and was now wealthy. Well, I can say to you, is you have gold in your stream. What you need to do is figure out how to find it. And I hope that I'm going to be instrumental, Johan, in helping you do that. Another question from Niley. How do I define a business model for an IT outsourcing firm? That's a very interesting question. But let me say it this way. Everything in a business starts with a customer. First, you got to figure out what your potential customers want. Then build your model around that. The biggest part of this formula is figuring out what your prospects really want. One of the biggest mistakes that any of you could make is assuming that you know what your prospects want. If you get that right, most everything else will flow smoothly. So you have to find out ways to be face-to-face with your customers or prospects so you can get into deep discovery with them. You want to learn how the daily problems they face in their life or work affect them at a deep level. Trust me when I say this. With this information, you'll be able to come up with solutions that really matter. At the service level of problems, whatever you do will probably be seen as a commodity. To be different, you have to get below the surface. I've always maintained a philosophy. If you want to know what a customer wants, ask them. That simple. Anyway, Richard and I know each other, and he sent this message. How can I convince solopreneurs to let go of the non-productive tasks that keep them from focusing on revenue-generating activities? Richard, as I see it, you need to address the three things. Number one, the return on investment for the entrepreneur. They have to be able to see clearly that they will make money when they outsource to you. They've got to see some convincing numbers, and I'm sure you'll all agree with me on this. You could work up some scenarios for them based on their particular basis. Number two, find a way to make it safe for them to work out the numbers themselves. Maybe, you know, you could create a widget on your site where people could enter data, and the widget will calculate the prospect's return on investment. You know, I've been to your site and know that you offer a free one-hour consultation. But even so, some people may shy away from the consultation because, you know, they're afraid, like all of us are, that they might get pressured into a sale or they might feel obligated. So they won't take you up on the offer. But if they could use a widget and see for themselves, this might just work. Number three, they need to know that you can do the work. You can convince them with good stories from past clients. The other thing you could do is offer to do a small project for them for free so they can sample your work. I hope this helps you, Rich. Asha, my business is losing money. How can I make it profitable? Boy, oh boy. Also, no matter how much planning I do, gaps turn up that create new problems. What can I do? If you are losing money, Asha, you have to do some analysis to find out why. There could be several reasons why. You may need more customers. You may need higher conversions. Your margins on your product may be too low. Your cost may be too high, etc. You need to identify what's causing the problem in order to fix it. Regarding the gaps in your plans, there will always be gaps in things you are doing for the first time because we don't know it all. You know, if you're having serious gaps, then part of the problem is how planning is being done. A good way, Asha, to reduce the gaps in your plans is to create a flowchart of your project or plan. When you do that, visually, you are able to identify gaps more easily. I'd like to suggest two sites where you can start creating free flowcharts. One is www.gliffy.com, and the other one is www.mindmeister.com. Give this process a try. It could help you. Nathan, I'm trying to offer full-time labor solutions for manufacturing and construction industries with project management. I don't know whether to first market my services or find support to handle those services. I don't want to advertise about a job opening, even though I don't have it or market my services, even though I won't be able to fully support it. What do you recommend? Let me just say this. Why can't you have a list of people that you qualify ahead of time that you can call then on when you land a job? Labor unions do it all the time. They have people on the bench waiting for a job to come up. You could advertise the job positions you need and let people know you don't have any positions to fill right now. But if they qualify after your interview, you'll put them on a list to call when a job becomes available. Of course, you face the risk that when you call, they, you know, may have found a job elsewhere. That's why you should have several qualified people on your list for each position that you wish to fill. With the current high unemployment rate, Nathan, you should have plenty of applicants. You can place ads at online sites like Monster.com or Craigslist. One thing you could do to make your job easier is to have people submit videos of themselves on YouTube, saying why they qualify for the job in addition to submitting a resume. This will give you a feel for the person and could help you eliminate some people up front, you know, lightening up your interview load. Be sure to create a list also, Nathan, of open-ended questions, as I said before, that you would want to ask the candidates who survive. And again, I'm going through that process, the first part of your screening process. These questions should be, again, designed to help you understand if these people will represent your company to your clients the way you want it to be represented. Now we got groups of questions on sales and marketing. This one's for Doreen. Doreen had asked, anyone who has been in sales has heard the ubiquitous, let me talk to my husband or wife excuse. We all know this is just a socially acceptable way of saying no. How do I overcome that without sounding or being pushy? All I can say to you, Doreen, is find out specifically what the person wants to talk over with his wife. That will give you his objections and will allow you to address them. It would also help you better prepare for future sales presentations. All objections are just something that an individual is telling you. You still haven't convinced me yet. So turn the objection around. And I'm sure that there's many, many things in sales that you could learn on how to handle this objection. But one of the things that I've always learned is that if you nurture a prospect and bring them along in a sales process, and I don't care if it takes 6-8 months, if you nurture them, when it comes time for them to put their signature down and sign, there's no hesitation whatsoever. Here's the question that Mark and Judy had asked. what's the best way to introduce your service to people that genuinely could really benefit from it if they didn't automatically assume that we do the same thing that every other business does who's asking? Why don't you do this? Develop an elevator speech that causes curiosity when you answer the question, what do you do? Never, by the way, label yourself as I am. Always say what you do for clients. For instance, if you're insurance, I protect people's dreams. You know, the natural response from a prospect would be to ask you, how do you do that? Then you could describe how you help a client protect their home, their car, or whatever. The more you can build the curiosity of the listener, the more they'll hear what you are saying, and the more they'll forget about the other businesses and focus on what you could do for them. To start a conversation yourself, always ask the other person what they do first. They, in turn, will ask you what to do. And then you could talk. There's a caveat, though. When you ask, ask with genuine interest and sincerity to learn about the other person. If you're being manipulative, people will sense that. But the whole thing here that I always want to say to you is, you know, create an elevator speech or something that creates a what is that concept. I'll just give you two of them. But Mark and Judy or anybody, when we open up the lines, if you tell me what your industry is, I'll try to help you in that. For instance, I had an individual recently that sold vitamins and everything. And when I asked him what that was about, he says, well, it's anti-aging. And I says, well, when you introduce yourself, why don't you just say, I'm a longevity doctor. And people will say, what does that mean? And now it goes along easier. So I hope I helped that. But and again, when we open the lines, please, just tell me what your industry is, and I'll try to come up with something for you. Ola, how do I get more patients referred to my clinic by other physicians? I'm going to tell you this, and everybody should listen to this here, because you can create the same list of 100 individuals you would like to have referring, have as customers. In Ola's situation, Ola, I'm going to suggest that you create a list of the top 100 physicians you would like to have referring business to you. Then start building a relationship with these people. You could do this by sending them useful information that would make their life or practice better. It could be a business article you read in a magazine or an article on the health of a physician, anything that's helpful, including a lot of my subscribers to my marketing tip of the week forward my marketing tips each month to the business people that they're nurturing relationships with a little note that says something along the lines of, John, even though you're not a customer yet, I just thought about you, and this is what I also do for my clients and customers. I not only help them in so forth, I also try to help them grow their business and create customers. Let me know how this idea and tip worked for you. You've now opened up the door for them to call you. But send at least one thing every month. You want to be in front of the physicians, Ola, on a regular basis in one form or the other. You could also take the most promising ones out to lunch occasionally. Think of it like dating. You're building a relationship. Don't rush things. Get to know the other person as much as you can, because the more you know about that person, the more you can tailor your approach to give them what they want so you can get what you want. And Ola, as a sideline, I tested a concept years ago where I made a list of 100 businesses I wanted as customers. And by the way, this is before email, so I call it snail mail. So I snail mailed them some form of communication. It was some kind of a report, an article, whatever it might be. And the results were that out of 100 prospects, if I mail something over a 12-month period of time, at least once a month, 5 acted immediately, 32 acted in 1 to 3 months, 28 acted in 3 to 6 months, 18 acted in 6 to 11 months, and guess what? 17 acted in more than 12 months. This means that out of that list of 100, more than 80% of all your prospects become customers eventually after 5 contacts. Isn't that incredible? I mean, it has worked that way. And I go over that in detail, by the way, in my book, How to Get Customers to Call, Buy, and Beg for More. All right, here's a question from Natalie, Sol, Michael, Alan, Justin, Andrew, and Vicky. How can I get more prospects and clients and keep them loyal to my business? How do I fill my funnel? You know, people, it all comes down to building relationships, again, with the people you want as clients. You know, I'm going to be going over maybe the same mantra over and over again. Please bear with me on this. But it is so critical because it can fit into any type of a scenario or any question. You need to find ways to meet these people and to build a relationship with them so that when they are ready to buy or to switch vendors, you'll be the first one that they think of. One of the things to remember is that businesses have so many choices available that, you know, just telling them that your product or service is great, it doesn't work. What makes the biggest difference in getting heard or in getting the appointment is the relationship. You know, I recommend you carefully study my blog and my newsletters. You know, there's so much information there. Study them and think about how the principles and strategies I describe might apply to your particular business. And email me with specific questions that come up for you. You could do that right on a website. Remember, reaching your prospects start with correct targeting. You have to identify where your prospects hang out and then find ways to meet them, either in person or through some form of advertising. But again, study my blog and my newsletters. They're so critical. I mean, they're million-dollar values, and they're free. Anyway, Mike, how can I create urgency to buy from prospects? Number one, penalty pricing. Let them know that the prices will go up on a certain date. Number two, have your offer expire by a certain date. And number three, have a mystery bonus if they respond within the next 24 hours. And number four, let them know there is a limited supply and that you may run out. Even if you do not have a limited supply, you can create an illusion that there is. You can say we will return your check uncashed if we run out of the item. This suggests that there is a limited supply without you even saying that there is. Hope this helps you. Lucia, I have 3,000 leads and I don't know what to do with them. I have determined I am awful at cold calling. I want you first to determine if you feel that what you sell makes your prospects' lives better. If it does, then you are doing them a favor by calling. When you call, call to find out if you can help. You could open the call with something like, I am calling to see if you are open to, and this leaves a space for them to listen. Accept the fact that not everyone will be open or be ready to buy and move on to the next. The faster you can establish the no's, the faster you get to the yeses. And trust me when I say this, on my LinkedIn groups when I do the discussions, not everybody agrees with me and they tell me so. And that's open for discussion, and that's good. What I'm interested in is helping the ones that are open to learning. Okay, here's one from Dennis. I make many outgoing phone calls. It seems that I am making more calls to get a customer. What could I do to improve my closing ratio? Dennis, all I'm going to tell you is to improve your closing ratio, three things are needed. Better targeting of your prospects, delivering a script that increases the desire for what you have to offer, and a better offer, which includes your close, by the way. And it's benefit-oriented. Everybody that you're talking to, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, am I making a wise decision in purchasing? And why should I do it? What's in it for me? Test each of these things one at a time, Dennis, to see what works best against your control. Here's some questions on trademarks, patents. Bob and Dan, how do I get past the gatekeepers to market my invention? It's unlikely that you can get past a big gatekeeper at a large corporation on the first try or even a few tries. To get by, you have to think outside the box. Come up with something that no one else is doing. One thing that might get you noticed off the bat but not necessarily get you the executive is what I call lumpy mail. Lumpy mail is that odd shape or bulky. For instance, if you send a Federal Express envelope that forced the sides of the envelope to bulge, it would be very hard for a gatekeeper to do anything but open it. If the bulky item you include in the envelope was interesting, it would make an impression. All right? I could go over a whole bunch of things, but I'm going to tell you one thing about how to get at affluent decision makers and get past the gatekeeper. Here's just one example. I had a letter I put together where I mailed it FedEx with a pair of shoes. And then I changed it, all right, to one shoe, and then I changed it to baby shoes. And the letter said, because it was getting too costly. Anyway, the letter simply said, the reason I sent you the pair of shoes was I needed to get my foot in the door, and for two reasons. And I, number one, I needed to get my foot in the door, and this was the best way I thought of how to do it. Secondly, what I have to talk to you about is of great importance to you. It could make a difference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When you then call, you call and a gatekeeper will answer, and you say, hi, this is Jim Jones. I'm the one that sent the pair of shoes to Mr. Smith. 90% of the time, I always got through. So I hope this helps you. Anyway, Philippe, funding. I have developed an accessory that I've trademarked. Should I seek VC funding and approach chain stores? In general, Philippe, I always recommend that business owners self-fund their growth if possible. However, if your product needs immediate broad market exposure, then approaching investors would be necessary. That, of course, now requires you to spend a substantial amount of time courting venture capitalists and making presentations. You'll have to weigh whether getting orders or raising money is best for you. On the other hand, with enough cash flow into your company from real orders, investors will be more likely to invest with you than, you know, now when you haven't had orders yet. You'll be in a stronger position to negotiate with the investors when you can prove your projections by making it happen already. Another avenue open to you is if you need funds for, say, manufacturing product to fill an order. You could sell the invoices to a factoring company to generate the funds you need. You'll be selling at a discount, but you'll be maintaining control of the product. Also, after proof of concept, you could enter strategic partnerships with people who get you into the big chain stores. And also, you know, one of the things, Philippe, I want to tell you is that when I consult with venture capital firms, they hire me to consult with them because the company that they're bringing public, they know that if they have a proven track record and sales that are there, and the reason they hire me is to create the strategies and systems so that it creates the sales, which now, if they didn't have that, the company comes public with no revenue, they might come out at $10 a share, whereas by the time I'm through with them, they're able to come out at $30 to $50 a share. So it's much, much better. But, Philippe, self-fund as much as possible. So in summary, I'd say prove your concept first, gather your numbers so you can get a feel of what it costs to get a unit of the product produced, shipped, and how much profit you make, how many returns, et cetera. And lastly, then find strategic partners to help you get on the shelves of the big chain stores. Art Kalei, how can I approach VCs and angels to fund my startup? Arcady, just like I just said, I recommend self-funding growth from profits. However, if VC funding is the way you want to go, create a list of the VCs you would like to work with and systematically set out learning about them as much as you can. Learn what kinds of projects they've approved in the past. What are their pet peeves, etc. Maybe you even attend functions where you might, you know, meet some of these people and learn more about them. Once you have the information you need, customize your documentation and presentation to each VC. Make sure your business model for making money, Arcady, is easily understood, that it is sustainable, and that you can clearly describe your competitive advantage, you know, competitive advantage in a marketplace. Here's one from Sue. Boy, I got to catch my breath here for a minute, people. You know, at 69, I'm just not as vim and vigor as I used to be. You know, Sue, her question was, with the current state of the economy not improving anytime soon, how do we get past the fear of continuing in building our business? Not sure I could afford to keep feeding another dependent. You know, so all I can say is self-fund your growth from the cash flow. Don't go into debt. You know, how could I explain this in more and more detail other than that? I mean, you know, just don't go into more debt. Here's a couple of questions on the insurance industry from a few individuals. Nelton, I'm in the insurance industry and would like to move into the business market. How should I approach this market? Melton, one of the examples I'm going to give you is what I said before. Create that list of 100 business people that you want as customers. Then nurture them along the next 12 months. These you could meet at networking events, Chamber of Commerce, if you're business events, whatever they might be, industry events, and now you're getting the data and you're keeping up with them, you're nurturing with them. You could forward one of my marketing tips with the idea I gave before. And Kansas K, you asked this question. I'm an insurance agent. I've started my own agency almost a year ago. Everything was going well. Then I got overwhelmed and started to pull back so that I could do the service work. I have recently hired a second agent so that I can get out and market, except I'm stuck and don't know where to start. Can you please help? Thanks. Number one, I'd go back to your own clients. Your clients are a gold mine, and this involves everybody, even those that are not in the insurance industry. I would go back to my existing clients, and I would talk to them, and then they would refer me to other people. Or in your situation, Kay, I would still make that list of 100 businesses or 100 people I want to know. If you do business to business, use the marketing tips or other venues. Send them reports. For those of you who own my course on how to sell insurance and make a fortune in the insurance industry, I go over this in great, great detail. If any of you, by the way, that are in the insurance or financial arena that are on this call, send Reggie at kenvarga.com an email. That's R-E-G-G-I-E at kenvarga.com. And Reg will get you off the information on the manual. It's huge. It's over 1,200 pages. And there's over 3,892 agents throughout the United States that are using it and becoming very, very wealthy. And you could do the same. Another insurance agent, Bob, how do I get around compliance in using your insurance course? Oh, great. That's the way it should be. Some of the suggestions I've given, Bob, is create a LinkedIn group where you could, or it is an organization called meetup.com, and there's local groups near you that you, and you could create a group and invite people to join. If you're a consumer, if you're prospects or consumers, then you want to join the consumer groups. If you're prospects or business, you want to join the business groups, and or both. It doesn't really matter. And then what you do is you're talking to them and talking to them. Compliance, 99.9% comes in to the picture when it comes to advertising. And there's some agents that are making a fortune because, as you well know, Bob, if you have my insurance course or financial planner's course, I mean, it's just phenomenal what those advertisements create. The amount of prospects that it creates are just unbelievable. And I'm sure everybody will agree on this. And when we open up, if you guys, you know, have it and mention it, and, you know. But anyway, if you want information on it, go to reggie@kenvarga.com and send them an email. Gary, I'm in the insurance business, and lately your pricing puts us out of the running. What could I I'm in the insurance business, and lately our pricing puts us out of the running. What can I do? Boy, for a minute there, I was wondering what pricing did I have that puts me out of the running. But anyway, what you could do really is I have found that you really never, ever want to price yourself out of the market. You don't want to be considered in branding yourself as the cheapest whatever because people will see through that very quickly. People want to deal with someone who's going to help them. And your job is to show them the value of what you perform and give them versus what you charge. So, Gary, I hope that has helped you out. Here's a question, a couple of questions on how to get referrals. And we're getting towards the three-quarter of an hour mark, so I'm going to just go over a few of these. And there's a few individuals I just want to mention to you. Cheryl, Dory, Andrea, and Marcy, your questions didn't come through for some reason. So if you've got, still got the email and you want to go back to www.kenvarga.com/ask, you could still input it. And I plan on, because I couldn't go over all the questions in this session here with answers and still make it valuable. So I'm planning on doing another teleseminar, and I'll let all of you know when that's going to be. But how to get referrals. So anyway, you people, if you could restate your question because it didn't come through, something got cut off, we'll do it on the next teleseminar. Justin, how to get an accountant to refer clients to a financial planner immediately. Let me tell you something. To do that, you have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you offer will serve the accountant's clients and make the accountant look good. And you'll have to gain his trust that there is no risk in professionally, legally, or otherwise. In my manual, I have a full chapter on how to create centers of influence. And you don't do it the way you've been taught. Because everybody that has studied my manual, that has implemented the system I have in place in the manuals, all right, in that chapter, have come up with 20 to 30 centers of influence that are consistently and constantly feeding clients to them. Anyway, all it is not going in a nutshell, I'm going to try to capsulize it. In a nutshell, it's not going in and asking them, I'd like you to be a center of influence because what I have to sell is good. What you've got to do is go in there and help them overcome any problem they might have first. One of the things that I suggest is there's a letter in the manual that says, I'd like to offer you a free report from a friend of mine, Ken Varga, who wrote a book, How to Get Customers to Call, Buy, and Beg for More. I'd like to give you this report as a token of my appreciation, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, if you want, Reggie will send you a copy of that letter, and you could go over it. So, Justin, I hope that helps. Dawn and Skip, how could I determine if it's fear of success or fear of failure that's holding me back? You know, I got to say, we're our worst enemy. You know, but I'm not sure if it makes a difference. You know, the effect that fear of failure has is still the same. They both stop you if you let them. So I think that regardless of which it is, you have to keep bringing to mind your ultimate goal. Unless you are in physical danger, fear is usually the result of an overactive imagination, looking for something to do. Thank it for doing its job. Believe me when I say this. Thank the fear for doing its job and then ask it to allow you to do yours because you're recognizing it. Eileen, here's a technical question. How can I turn a website into a PowerPoint presentation? Be very specific, as I am not a computer person. Oh, yeah, you're talking to another individual that's not a computer person, but I know a little bit that Reggie taught me about PowerPoint presentation. You'll need to purchase a program like Camtasia from TechSmith. It costs about $300, Eileen, but it's considered to be the best program for this purpose. TechSmith provides very detailed training videos on how to use the program. An easier way for you to do this might be to bid out the project to a virtual assistant through an online service like Elance.com. You could list your project for free and get bids as low as $50, depending on what you have want done. Again, that's www.elance.com. Brian, how does a small business on a small budget rise to the top of Google, Yahoo, organic search engine results? Brian, there's two things you need. You need to optimize your website for the keywords your market is searching for, and you have to have sufficient one-way back links pointing back to your site. Google Keyword Extender 2 is a good place to start in finding keywords that fit your market. And great, it's free. You can also use keyword tools like WordTracker. However, WordTracker and other tools carry a subscription fee, Brian, so it's going to cost you. You know, Market Sumerai is also a good keyword tool. You know, keeping your site optimized is an ongoing process, right? It's not something you do once and then leave it alone. So plan on making adjustments. The biggest effect on your marketing, though, is the backlinking. That's important. So this is something you should be doing on a continual basis. You know, many people hire VAs, virtual assistants, to develop backlinks for them. However, they usually are doing link exchanges, where you will place their link on one of your pages, and they will place one of your links on one of theirs. Google doesn't give you much credit for that unless you can get a link, you know, from a high-ranking page. What Google values are one-way links pointing to your site. That's where article writing comes in handy. By seeding the Internet with articles that you've written with links pointing back to your site. You could create some one-way thinking. There are many good ebook resources out there that could help you with implementing search engine optimization, backlinking, and article marketing strategies. So I hope that that helped you out. The heel. What is the best marketing strategy that has proven results? Is it direct mail, networking, etc.? There's so many things that work. But for strategy to work, it has to spring from the things that come before it. My approach to starting a business that will be successful is to start with the purpose of what the business is, then its mission, followed by the customer needs and wants, followed by goals, followed by strategy to accomplish those goals. So the best strategy will be the one that helps you accomplish your stated goals more quickly and efficiently, and that produces really the most profit. So, you know, I hope that some of these questions have been answered. I know I haven't possibly gotten to every one of them, and I've tried to organize them. But I'll get to them in the next teleseminar. But, again, I know I went over this very quickly. If you send an email to reggie@kenvarga.com, Reggie will give you the link of the MP3 that's going to be online of this teleseminar so you can listen to it in your leisure. And trust me, people, when I listen, I have downloaded so much stuff that I've gotten over the years onto my iPod. And every single time that I re-listen to something, I learn something. And because I hear something I didn't hear before. And it could have been because something interfered with what I was listening to. But, you know, listen to it over and over. If I don't know, Reggie, is it possible to transfer the MP3 to their iPod?
Oh, yes.
All right, do it. And listen to me on a daily basis. Keep me out of the bathtub, though. Anyway, Reggie, let's open it up for some questions. Who would like to go first?
Hello?
Yep. Who's this?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
For many people, all roads lead in some
form or
another
Fail.
To their life goals.
Liam, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Reggie, why is there music on?
Sophisticated statistical
models
create an effective, easy-to-understand roadmap of your financial needs without
taking
unnecessary investment risk.
Hold on.
Think of it as a life planning process that begins today.
Somebody's background on somebody.
Yeah, I found that.
Okay, that was Wachovia
I'm still here.
Security. Okay, Ian, you on?
Okay. Hey, listen, this is all really great. I really appreciate everything you're doing. This has helped me a lot.
Great. I'm glad to hear those. Thank you for those kind words.
Excellent. And my question is this. What do you recommend for the thinking that goes into designing a follow-up sales process or sales sequence?
Well, you know, Ian, we're taught so much, and sometimes I believe that we're taught so much by the sales gurus so that they could make the price that they charge warranted. It really boils down to one simple thing. What can you do to turn a prospect into a customer?
Right.
Doesn't it? And,
right.
And the way that happens is to nurture that prospect, and that prospect will open up the door. The idea I gave for business to business, if you're in business to business, to forward one of my marketing tips to your prospect list, and this could be gathered through networking. It doesn't matter. And the key thing here is you have a note on there that you're showing them you're not just only interested in them becoming a good customer. You want to help them. In my insurance and financial planning course, on one of the CDs, there's about 20 to 50 different reports that you could send out also that's customized by you. One of them is how to keep in good health. Has nothing to do with what you might be selling.
Right.
And then, you know, the note just simply says, let me know if you've gotten any information out of this article. And they're now opening the door to talk to you.
Right.
And that is the most wonderful position to be in?
yeah.
Well, you don't have
I'll
to beat on your head.
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I mean, I think you do a great job on your blog with some of those answers you give. They're wonderful. You know,
great. What
that.
You know, one of the things I appreciate is the individuals that take the few minutes it takes to comment on it, because by commenting, you know, not simply to say, hey, this is the greatest thing since whatever, but to comment with an example and say, I used this in this specific situation, and God, did it work. That makes me feel like $1 billion.
Right.
You know?
Right, great. Great. Hey, well, listen, thank you. Thank you for answering my question earlier also. I'm graduating college here, so this stuff really helps me a lot.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
Keep the faith, and maybe we'll see you on the next teleseminar also.
Absolutely.
Who's next, Reg?
Go ahead. Anyone that's ready to speak, go ahead and speak.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, what's your name?
Bob. Reese, R-E-E-S.
Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Hey, I've been getting Ken's emails, and, you know, I don't get to read all the content because of stuff I'm doing, but I think you're a good luck charm, because one of my questions, or my question was about gatekeepers, and one of my inventions, I won't mention it, but it did go global, so I'm trying to get my other ideas out there. And I just got an email, I won't tell you from who, but from a female NASCAR driver. And so I'm just going to call you a good luck charm.
Well, thank you, Robert. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And let me know if there's anything else we could help you with.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I do get your emails, but and I you know, I glance over them. It's just I'm chasing too much stuff at once. And this is the last 2 years have been phenomenal.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I just want to mention to everybody on the call here that do receive my marketing tips. I understand there's absolutely no way that any of you are going to be implementing every single one of them every week. There's just not enough of time in the day to do it. But you're going to find that one or two will jump out at you. And when you implement that, boy, is it just going to be wonders. Anybody else want to ask a specific question? I'm here, people. Let me, right now.
Hey, well, if I can, I'll ask another one.
Go ahead.
This is Liam.
Oh, okay, Liam.
Okay, so you talked about, so you said nurture the leads and develop relationships with them. You know, are there any things that I have to, Mr. Varga, that have to come before that to make them say, I want to develop a relationship with you?
Well, again, you're going to find out where your prospects are, where your audience is, where your customers hang out, and what have you. If you're business to business, it's going to be networking events. It's going to be the Chamber of Commerce. Or different business association meetings. If you're consumer-oriented, it could be PTA. It could be anywhere like that.
Okay.
And at that time, you're going to be picking up business cards if you're business to business. And you're going to be just simply saying, I'd like to keep in touch with you. Now you put it in a database. And now you're going to be sending them off emails. I love this email stuff today, really. And one of the key things in your conversation that you want to try to do is to find out the month and day of their birthday.
Okay, right.
Then you send them an email saying, you know, John, even though you're not a client of mine yet, I just wanted to be one of the first to wish you a happy birthday.
Right.
And you send that a week before, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you will be the first.
That you will be the first. Or the better thing is to pick up the phone
a week before
and say, John, I just wanted to be one of the first to wish you happy birthday.
No, that's really good. I wouldn't have thought to do it a week before. That's really good.
Yeah, and because you want to impress upon them, I want to be the first.
Right. Okay, right.
Yeah, I hope that helps everybody here. I hope you guys are listening to this stuff, and you're going to be listening to it later. Anybody else got a question?
Hi, Ken. This is Darren Raskin.
Yeah, Darren.
First, I'd like to just thank you and Reggie you so much for getting me those missing pages of one of the books that I had been reading. And anyway, my question was pretty long and complicated and convoluted, so I thought it might be able to clarify it. Is I have two businesses that I've been working on, and I've pretty much made the decision that my future is in one of them. But I'm so very tied to the one I was doing before. So one of them is an engineering consulting business, which I'm trying to extricate myself out of as much as I can. And then the other one is a network marketing, a weight loss company. And I just wanted to see if you had any suggestions on how to get out of something that you've been, I've been in business for 12 years doing the engineering.
Well, I don't know if anybody on the call is in network marketing. But one of the biggest problems that I've seen happening in network marketing is individuals are trained to try to make a sale and to offer the opportunity at the same time. What you have to do is just make a sale. Get the individual to experience the benefits they're going to have from your product. And then, once they've experienced these great results, are they going to say no to an opportunity to share it and make revenue at the same time? You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. That's good.
Yeah, so just always do that. Always, just create a client, a customer. I've been approached so many times from network marketers. We used to call them multi-level marketing.
Right.
Trying to get me to become a distributor and what have you. I mean, I had a network marketing company I created. It was called Unique Products Corporation. And it was a guaranteed Donruan pantyhose. And within 6 months, we had 382,000 distributors.
Wow.
And somebody made me an offer I couldn't refuse. We all have a price. and that was sold. But I mean, the way I trained the individuals was the right way. Experience the benefits you're going to get from it. But where is your passion, Darren?
Well, that's what I really like is I'm really passionate about that because it helps people. I mean, obesity is such a huge epidemic. And it makes such a big difference in people's lives when they change that. And then you add to that the fact that so many people right now are out of work and having trouble making ends meet, and this is an opportunity for people to take their life into their own hands with very little upfront cost. So they kind of that all aligns really well with me.
Great. On that same token, what I'm going to say to you, Darren, is this, and then we'll ask somebody else to get in. Is there a possibility with the other company you could have somebody running it?
I've kind of done that where I have one of my old engineers, my last one that was on staff. He's doing most of the work, but I'm still doing the sales. But the problem is I just keep getting caught up. I'll get a contract or something like that, and then I end up walking away from the network marketing business for too long, and then you have to, you almost have to start over and rebuild.
Well, you don't want to do that. Number one, you want to go with your passion because life is too short to be doing something that you really don't enjoy.
All right, I can appreciate that.
Okay, who's next? You got me.
Ken, this is Chaz.
Hey, Chaz, how are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for answering that question on social media. That was just phenomenal. But I got to thank you because building relationships is where it's at.
Yep, sure
definitely
is.
Building relationships. And I forgot about the gatekeeper about the shoes. That's probably one of the best stories I've ever heard.
Thank you. I love getting these responses back because, I spent over $2 million. In building my companies, and just consistently to learn what was the right way to do things. And I experimented with every oddball thing there was. Let me tell you, I could go through all kinds of different ways of letters, grammar letters, I call them, you know, to make all this happen. But, Chaz, I'm glad that helped you.
Oh, it did, very much so. Thank you, and thanks for having Reggie on the line. I know he's your assistant, and you guys really, really do a great job. Thank you, and I know a lot of people were helped today, myself.
Thank you. Who else wants to ask a question? You got me.
Ken, I don't want to ask another question. I'm just going to shoot Reggie a LinkedIn invite later on, and just so you know. I'm the guy with that orange thing in the profile picture, by the way.
So okay.
We'll chat with you later.
Okay. Sounds good, Rock.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Who's next? Hey, Liam, you still on?
Yes.
God, I just saw you're from Tonawanda.
I'm from near Tonawanda, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you know about Tonawanda?
Do you know where Shaholda, Pennsylvania is and Meshopin and what have you?
I don't. I'm from Tonawanda, New York.
Yeah, that's close. I think it is anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a business there?
No. No, I just know a lot of people in that area and all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Hey, so Unique Products Corporation, is that what it was called?
Yeah.
You had 382,000 distributors?
Yeah, within 6 months.
That's incredible.
Well, it was a great product. I mean, you know, guaranteed non-run pantyhose.
Right.
This is
right.
Before it even became on the market by the biggie people. And that's one of the reasons I sold it. It had the window that I saw was open, and I saw and knew that within a year, the big guys were going to come out with it.
Oh, yeah.
And they did.
Oh, yeah.
Those little things you go out in a drugstore and they got it look like an egg.
Okay, right. Well, let me ask you, what do you do to be able to get that kind of growth that fast? Because I know most people can't do that.
First thing was, back then, quite a number, I contacted the 10 biggest distributors of network marketing, and I made them an offer they couldn't refuse.
Oh yeah.
And immediately we started off with about 250,000.
No kidding, because you tapped into their distributors.
Oh yeah, they loved the product, they saw the potential, and they made a fortune.
Okay.
They
gotcha.
Made a fortune.
Okay.
Anybody else? While you have me on. Let's do it. I know there's a lot of people on here. You got a great opportunity right now. All right, then, Reg, is there anything we need to let everybody know? Or
no, that's it.
All right.
Just thank everybody for being here today, and I look forward to talking with you guys again.
Well, I thank you also, and what have you, but... we're going to do another one, Reg, all right?
Okay.
All right, we'll let you guys know.
Bye-bye.
Take care.